Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's morning Bible study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for giving us your provisions, Lord, and giving us your Word, Lord, and showing us and helping us to mature inside of you, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for being our Father, Lord, and fathering us up in you, Lord, and putting people inside of our life, Lord, who will help us and encourage us to become more like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we begin our study in 2 Thessalonians. So with that, we are in chapter 1. And if I could get a volunteer to read the first 8 verses, please.
I'll read them.
All right, honey.
Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, there is a lot in there. But as is our custom, where we're going to open up the floor and give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who would like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
There were some flaming swords in that.
There were, yes.
The first part that we read there. I like the continued context that the Holy Spirit is ministering through the Apostle Paul through this, second epistle to the Thessalonians, just addressing where they are and acknowledging what they've endured, but also helping them and encouraging them to set their focus on the right thing, on that which is correct. Sometimes when we're in the midst of experiencing persecution or tribulation, troubles, testing, or oppressions, things that are uncomfortable to our lives and that would impact or interfere with the experiencing of the good that we desire to experience, it's easy to get locked in perspective-wise on looking at that trouble and looking at who's doing it and why they're doing it, and trying to kind of go in this tizzy circle of figuring things out. Why is this happening? You know, what's the reason? Why are they doing this to me? And it can almost be like your mind gets trapped in that. And what the Apostle Paul is doing here is, and the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul is saying, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Look unto the Lord and Savior. Look unto the Father. Look unto the author and finisher of your faith. And don't just focus on what you see right in front of your eyes. That's often a tactic that the adversary uses against humans, especially the people of God, is to barrage and attack them, but also to try to hold their focus and their gaze in the realm of what's happening in the natural, so that we forget to use those weapons and the tools that God has given us. And we talked about in the closing parts of our discussion on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 was how important hope is to the believer, because without hope, there's nothing to connect your faith to. There's no target for your faith. And then subsequently, there's no reason to move on if you have, or continue to endure if you have no hope. So the Lord, through the Apostle Paul here, is saying, hey, look up. Focus on what is actually important, on the depth of your Father's love for you, the Heavenly Father, on the strength and this the salvation that comes to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And remember the patience of the saints. Revelation references that we should be patient in our temperament and realize that God is a righteous judge. And there is a time of grace and mercy that all human beings have an opportunity to partake in, and the opportunity to make their choice for Jesus Christ. However, the Lord is not going to allow his people to be oppressed indefinitely. And he is always going to keep us safe in the midst of those things, even if we choose to go home to be with him during that process. He's always going to be with us, and that his power, his sovereignty is higher than any trap or trick of the adversary. So remember that God is a righteous judge, and he will always deal righteously with the situation and even dealing with those who trouble us. So put your hope back in him, put your focus and your faith back on him, and gear up for the next phase of this journey.
Amen.
Something interesting that goes along with what you were saying, Mom, that the Lord was showing me about the trial and tribulation part. You remember when we read in Revelation and in Genesis, looking at the Lord's whole intent and purpose of having, you know, every human come through the earth to make a decisions, because he's purifying the heavenly community. And we know that the trying of our faith in tribulation produces patience. Patience produces character, character hope. And then the hope of God does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a process. And as you mentioned, Mommy, not being focused on the people who are doing things to us that we don't like, because it's not about them. This is a refining period for you to get your faith in order, to get your character developed and built up, because without the trying fire of the Lord, the impurities, the dross will still be there. And it's really going to be terrible to stand on that day and hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, because you didn't want to endure the tribulation. You didn't want the persecution. And I'm not saying you relish in it and you go out and you purposely find people to beat you. Paul didn't do that. But as they come, as the trials come, that you understand that this is an opportunity for you to rise higher than the situation, for you to develop that level of excellence that doesn't give up and that doesn't quit, that the Father himself has. So it's just important to remember those things, because as you said, Mommy, it's easy to get wrapped up in our emotions and look at and be stuck in the situation and the circumstance to only think and in terms of carnal mindset, and to totally derail ourselves and dismantle ourselves, which is the whole point and purpose of the adversary coming to bring those thoughts, is so that you dismantle yourself and you let down your guard and your shield of faith, so now he can really wreak havoc. That's just the beginning of what he's trying to do. So you have to remain steadfast, as the whole point of we're doing this study in Thessalonians, to remain steadfast so that you don't fall prey to the adversary's tactics. Because the Lord doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to fail, because we're made in his image and in his likeness. The Lord is not a failure, not for one second, not in any way, shape, or form. So we shouldn't be failures either. And we certainly shouldn't make excuses for us to be failures when the Lord has already gone out of his way to give us the Bible, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us the spoken word each and every day so that we're successful. If we are failing, it's purely only because we want to and we choose to, not because of anybody else.
Amen. And then let's keep in mind that these tribulations and these persecutions are coming from the wicked one. God is not sending those tribulations and persecutions to refine us in any way. He gives us his word to refine us. But he also says that in the circumstances that we face, he's not going to come and pick us up on a fiery chariot to ride us out of the earth so we don't have to experience it. But instead, he's going to equip us to endure. And he's saying, take up the weapons and the armor that I've already given you. Take your stance, plant your feet, dig your heels in, and clothe yourself with the proper instruction, the guidance, and the empowerment that comes through the word of God to do the work that I've set before you. Don't be drawn into these distractions that the enemy tries to keep you on a natural plane. You are a spiritual being made in the image and the likeness of God, who has the same armor that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself walked in while he was here in this earth. Get that weaponry on, get that armor on, and go to work. Get to work and deal with the adversary in the spiritual arena, because that's where you're going to get your victory. But as long as he can keep us relegated to the natural, that is the devil, and try to barrage us with these attacks and tribulations, then he can rule over us, because our valor and our victory and our strength comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Layla.
And there was something else that you just mentioned, and you were coming to talk about, Mommy, about the valor. And that takes us to what verse is it? 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. So that's the, is a bit difficult to put into words, but for right now, I'll phrase it. You've got to prove yourself that you are, you know, you're there, and the Lord should be able to depend on you. Just like, I believe it was Luke, when the Lord was talking about building the house, he said, let one who builds the house first sit down and count the cost and see if he's got the supplies and the money to finish it, lest he start to build and he doesn't finish, and other people walk by and say, well, this man started to build and he never finished, which is to say they mocked him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, you are not worthy to be called my disciples if you're not willing to forsake houses and fathers and sisters and brothers and mothers and children and lands for him, because that's what it really comes down to. Are you going to let your house get in between you and the Father? Are you going to let these circumstances or these words that aren't pleasant to your flesh to get in between you and your Father in heaven? I don't think you should. I encourage you not to. And it's something that I've been learning recently with the Lord as well, is that I'm going to school. Am I going to let these things that people are saying or doing derail me and take me out of God's blessing, because I want to indulge my flesh instead of standing on the truth, which is what the Holy Spirit through Paul is getting at in this section of scripture, standing on the truth, because that's the only foundation that remains. Everything else is quicksand. Go ahead and count it. It may not look like it, but it really is. And I can assure you that it is. And I've stood on it myself and have found myself in trouble. So we should be exemplifying that the effort, the investment that the Lord made in us was worth it. That we were worth his time and his effort, just like parents want their children to demonstrate that the time that they poured into them, and I'm talking about, you know, godly parents, the word that they poured in them, it was not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also what this is being spoken about, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Prove that what the Lord did for you was not in vain, that he didn't just waste his time pouring into you the entire time that he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Do something with it. He gave you something to work with, and actually bring it back to him, because he knows what's supposed to be done with it. But go mm-hmm. out and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
It does no good to have all the money in the world or to have the resources, the skill, the talent, the time, the anything, and you do nothing with it. Even in America, in natural terms, we scoff at people like that, that you had so much potential and then you threw it all away for what? So as we're going through life, we shouldn't be throwing away our destiny, our blessing from the Lord for something less than, for something secondary from the adversary that is not worth anything but maggots and worms. And nobody finds treasure or value in maggots and worms. So it's important that we stay on what God is talking about, because only he knows, you know, what is beneficial for us and for others around us.
Amen.
Lily, you brought up an interesting point of how the Holy Spirit has already prepared us, and it is up to us to bring that to God so he can tell us how to use it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord brought me back to 1 Thessalonians. We see throughout in a blanket statement that God is, he has given them weapons, and he's telling them what they are. Going back to 2 Thessalonians, we see in the beginning, Paul is combating what other people are saying and also reassuring them about that how they did not miss God. And this is a way for the Holy Spirit to give them direction so that they can actually fight the Lord's battles and destroy what they're supposed to destroy. And Lely, going back to what she said about the plan may be well and good, but if we do not allow God to develop it and give it direction, it does us no good. It's going to turn it on ourselves. The devil doesn't try to take an off day. There's no off day for the devil, or a time where the devil does not try to come and attack. Mm-hmm. As in, there's not an opportunity that is above the devil that he won't take to derail a believer, or anyone, or steal, kill, or destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is especially important for us to go to God to get that direction. So, Jesus said that he was sent into the world to destroy the works of the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
We have a similar assignment, in that we're supposed to be continuing what Jesus began on the earth, and by that I mean continuing inside of bringing and turning the people's heart to God. And God has already given us the weapons in order to do us. It's up to us to actually get direction for it. And by getting direction, allowing the Lord to give us his love, and in his love, showing us and developing our heart and mentality behind it and why we're doing it. Are we doing it to destroy other people or to get back at them? Or are we doing it because we love God?
Amen. And the target of our warfare is always the wicked one. Jesus did not come to destroy the people. He came to save the people, give them an opportunity to find reconciliation in him, but he came to destroy the works of the devil. So he makes that really clear throughout his word, but humans sometimes have a hard time separating the two. But I wanted to point something out here, that as the Apostle Paul is talking, his language and what he's describing here in the verses, I'll say 4-8, he's describing something that's also articulated in the book of Revelation.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned it briefly, where it tells the believers, it's a reference in Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. And then you'll see it again in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. Think about that for a second. I know it's something that we probably typically just read over and we go over it like a speed bump, you know, trying to get out of the neighborhood, but it's important. And then chapter 14, you see it again in verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, in both of these sections that we read, that there is a spirit speaking wicked and ungodly things. And we'll just lump it all up into the devil. The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, wicked spirits, demonic entities, all the way around, you can just wrap them all up into the devil. Well, they may do like have different arenas that they operate in, different scales or levels of hierarchy in the wicked kingdom or whatnot. It really doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant and under the feet of Jesus Christ and subservient to the kingdom of God. So there's no reason to spend too much time going into that. We just call it all the devil and demonic activity. But he's saying something to them here. In the midst of these things that seem so great and so terrible, he said, here's the patience of the saints. If you lead into captivity, you're going to go into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
If you kill with the sword, you're going to be killed with the sword. What is he saying? What you sow, you will reap. You are going to reap from God judgment based on your actions. And then in the second one, he's talking about a similar thing about those who received a mark from the beast and those who did not. And again, you are going to reap you're going to reap in judgment from the Lord based on what your actions are. So these are two separate writers writing at two separate times in history, but yet their message is one. It's the same. How is this happening?
Because they're operating off of the Holy Spirit.
Because they are speaking by the same Spirit. Okay?
Yes, Mommy?
Yes.
So now let's flip that coin over on its head. If there is persecution, we talked about this in the book of Acts. How did all these people, they were persecuting Paul, they were in different locations, different days of the week, times and seasons of the month or the year, but yet they were all speaking the same thing. Why is that?
They're operating from the same spirit, which was
not the spirit that Paul and John were operating from, but the same spirit of the wicked one.
That's exactly. Spirit of the wicked one, the spirit of the Antichrist.
Right, which is all one and the same. The Antichrist, the devil, all that. You just group it all into one thing. And it's demonic work and activity with no separate purpose from that of Satan, literal Satan that got kicked out of heaven, who was once Lucifer. They're all operating by the same playbook. So that's why they say the same things. That's why they do the same things. So the Lord is saying, keep your focus on him and come back to where your dominion and power and authority lies, which is in the name of Jesus Christ, but operating in a spiritual arena from the natural realm. And what do I mean by that? We're not literally physically in heaven right now. We're on the earth. And this is what gives us the ability to rule over the devil here in the earth, is because we have these dirt bodies. It gives us legal right to transact business. It gives me the right to pick up a cup and take a drink. It gives me the right to walk across the street and drive a car. Whereas demonic spirits don't have that right because they don't have a physical body. Okay.
Yes, Mommy.
So they're always trying to connect with the physical body so they can carry things out. Otherwise, they are rendered powerless here in the earth. So the Apostle Paul is saying, okay, I've encouraged you guys. I've inspired you. You've endured some things, but it's time to come up. And it's the Lord ministering through him. But that's the message. It's time to come up and get your dukes up because you have weapons that are powerful. They're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, for casting down vain imaginations, and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ, and everything that exalts its name against the name of Jesus Christ. You subdue it. You have dominion over it because the power has already been given to you. So we're gearing up, getting our gloves on. Or we can bare knuckle it and just get ready to take it to the adversary.
Amen. And that first happens on a spiritual level.
Amen.
And you see the manifestation in the natural.
Amen. Amen. All right. So he's saying God's leaving judgment. He's leaving signs of that. Amen. Let's go.
Amen. So we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right. Promise.
Lord, I thank you for equipping us before we even have need of it, Lord. And showing us what the target of our warfare is, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for giving us peers that encourage us inside of you, Lord. And that we're not alone, Lord. And that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Who has made atonement for our sins, Lord. And also has given us the strength to do your will, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.